You've likely never heard of Bakersville, North Carolina. It's an endearing tiny town of about 465 people in Mitchell County, near Spruce Pine and Roan Mountain, nestled in the Blue Ridge. The town was formed in the mid-1800s, and long before that, native peoples mined local mica deposits. The town had a brief boom when mica was mined again in the 1870s, but it's not famous for much of anything, really. I don't take it for granted that I've had the opportunity to know three of my great-grandmothers and one of my great-grandfathers. Nor do I take it for granted that as a 37-year-old, all four of my grandparents are still alive. Those relationships were so central to my formation, and still are, because those relationships gave me stories. Stories of my heritage, of who I am. Stories of immigration, stories of settlement, the Over the Mountain Men and the Battle of Kings Mountain and the War for Independence. Stories of the circus coming to town in the middle of the Great Depression. I would sit and listen to yarns and tales, forgetting to blink, making mental notes of names and places, my ancestors, the old country. It was the 1st of November, 1991. I was 9 years old, and my mom's family and I were winding along an old wagon trail turned state route into the mountains to Bakersville, North Carolina. My wide eyes taking in the scenery of the mountains, the trees, the glens, and coves. As we rolled through the little hamlet, I began to recognize names on signs. Bowman Middle School, Googe Elementary, McKinney Road, the surnames of the people I'd only heard about. We finally came to a stop on the outskirts and were greeted by people that I'd never met, yet found familiar. They welcomed us in and called us kin. After all the introductions and some refreshments, we were each given a brush and a basket of flowers and were bidden to follow. We climbed a gravel pathway to the top of a piney knob, passed through a gate, and entered the family cemetery. It was the annual grave decorating. Each year, the family would gather, brush the mosses and lichens from the headstones and out of the engravings. We would drape flowers over each one. The family would hold hands and sing old hymns and Appalachian spirituals, then back down the gravel path and into the kitchen. I still remember the straight-backed chairs and the formica tabletop strewn with photos as I listened to the story behind each one. I recall an emotion akin to the one you feel when you learn of your great-grandmother's immigration from afar or a distant relative being a charter member of some consequential group. Perhaps you've traced your ancestry through the Shawnee hunting grounds, slave ships, or Polynesian wayfinders. 23andMe, Ancestry.com, we love to know where we came from. We need to know where we came from. Knowing connects us, links us, bonds us to something greater than we are. Knowing reminds us that we aren't floating on isolated ponds, but on a great river. That's why God wants us to know His story. Framed photos hang on His walls. Lively talks await you at His table. Stories about Bethlehem beginnings and manger miracles. Warfare in the wilderness and fishermen friends in Galilee. The stumbles of Peter. The stubbornness of Paul. God's Spirit hovering over the unformed waters of the yet-to-be-created cosmos. All a part of the story. These are all subplots to the central message, the headline which reads, God reveals Himself as He saves His people. He casts His net over cities and individuals, princes and paupers, doubters and the downtrodden, sovereigns and survivors. God's story is one in which He takes on the whole mess of us, invites us to sit at His table, and shows us who He is. Today is Trinity Sunday, and as Yeats said, surely some revelation is at hand. That revelation is God. That revelation is self-revealed. In a recent conversation with a friend, I pointed out that I would be preaching on the one Sunday a year that is specifically set aside for a doctrine. She wondered in response if the doctrine of the Trinity really mattered all that much. This got me thinking. Judging by the church's creeds, Christians used to think that the Trinity is really important, but why? Well, as one writer has said, the Trinity and the gospel have the same shape. The Trinity matters because it is who God is. It is who he always was and would have always been had there been no you, no me, no heavens, and no earth. It makes no sense to ask what the point of the Trinity is, or what purpose the Trinity serves. The Trinity isn't for anything beyond itself, because the Trinity is God. St. Athanasius might put it this way: God's way of being God is to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, simultaneously from all eternity, perfectly complete in a triune fellowship of love. So the question isn't, is it practical, or will this be on the exam? The question is, do I want to know God? Do I want to know the all-sufficient fountain of joy and love? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord, cries David, both king and psalmist. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In other words, to quote a seminary professor of mine, the joys of fellowship with God are as high above the joys of the world as the heavens are above the earth. The triune God invites us to his table. The Trinity offers you fellowship, and fellowship as he knows it, perfect love, complete joy. Reconciled to the perfect love of the Father by the work of the Son, and that love, says Paul, has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is table fellowship. This is family. As the grave decorating and those stories told shaped my family growing up, the Trinity shapes us into a new family. This one family, as missionary theologian Leslie Newbegin says, is created by God in Christ, out of all the tribes and nations and peoples, set in the midst of the world as the sign of that to which all creation in all the world moves. It is the body of Christ, the new man, the second Adam, the new human race, growing up into its full stature and drawing into itself people of every kind. We, as my family up in the mountains would say, are kin. The Trinity and the gospel have the same shape. As we will observe and participate in the rest of this liturgy, it will culminate in a family meal. In just a few brief moments, you will ascend to the table. A choir of angels will sing over you as you approach, for it is the table of the Trinity. We are invited to the table of the Trinity to revel in the mystery as it has been revealed. We are invited to the table of the Trinity to feast on the bread of life. We are invited to the table of the Trinity to imbibe from the cup of joy and the family of the Trinity as children of God. Amen.